You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
And welcome to the 69th episode of Lake of Rage, a Pokemon trading card game podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, aka Mellow _ Magikarp. I'm joined today by three very special temporary guest hosts. We have all three members who are joining us for the very first time, and all three members, including myself, I guess, so all four of us on the podcast today, are going to be playing in the day one of the Pokemon World Championships in 13 days, I believe, at the time of recording. So very, very, very soon. So joining us for the first time here, but second time, if you count the YouTube appearance where we talked about how we got our world's invite, we have Averyn.
How's it going? My name's Averyn.
Joining us for the first time anywhere, we have one of our locals who, if you've watched my Tabletop Village streams, you've definitely seen him play a lot. We have Elliot.
Hi, Elliot's been playing for long time, like 2012-ish, I think, was the start. And favorite accomplishment would have to be, like, I think top 32 at Vancouver this last year. That's definitely the highlight so far.
Let's go. And joining us for the first time on the pod, but again, if you've watched the YouTube channel long enough, you've definitely heard this voice before, we have Orion Sutherland.
Hey, everybody. My name is Orion. I've been playing since 2013-ish, and probably my best accomplishment would probably be 17th at Daytona Regionals in 2020.
Perfect. So we have an expert cast for you, and Averyn, we missed out on yours. So how long have you been playing? What's your favorite accomplishment?
I've been playing since the 2014 season. My favorite accomplishment would be day two of Salt Lake City this past year. I got top 32, was 29th place. Other than that, qualified for all the player cups during the pandemic. I was the grinder, grinding all the tournaments during the pandemic. So, but my favorite accomplishment was the Salt Lake City one.
Let's go. So we're going to have a very special episode for y'all. We're going to have a meta discussion. We're going to talk about what we expect for day one, specifically of the World Championships. What are the decks that we expect to play against the most? What are the techs we're expecting to play against? All that other stuff, because it's coming up. It's coming up very soon. I know we've all put a lot of thought into this. What are the decks that we have to beat in order to do well? And if you're listening to this, maybe you didn't make it to Worlds this year. This isn't a bad one to listen to, because Worlds is a slightly different tournament. So as a quick preface for anyone listening who doesn't know, day one of the Pokemon World Championships is not like every other tournament. You have to go X2. What does the X mean? A certain number of wins that the Pokemon company will decide seemingly at the last minute. They could have you go 3-2 in order to qualify for day two. They could have you go 7-2 to qualify for day two, or realistically somewhere in between any of those. So it's a slightly different tournament in that it's not about getting that 6-2-1 into day two and playing more Swiss rounds. It's about reaching some number of wins and then starting a whole new tournament the next day with like 100 other people who are some of the best in the game. So it's a little different preparation. You know, Worlds has a lot of talent there. So because of that, I assume a lot of us are kind of thinking like, all right, the Lunarocks of the world aren't going to show up. So I want us to all go through kind of what are the top three decks you expect to play against in day one? And then we'll kind of elaborate after everyone's given their top three. So Averyn, why don't you start us off? What are the three decks you expect to play against the most in day one?
So what I like to do, like anybody else should be who's competing, is look at Limitless or anything that has like some kind of data of what's being played, or just have a like little glimpse. So our last big event was NAIC, so I'll take that into perspective. But now we have actually Pokemon, the new set that's Pokemon Go, that's like the new mini set that's a part of our new standard format. But I don't think too much changes from that. But so what I like to do is go on limitless. Look at what's the top decks are being played right now. My three top decks that I'm for sure going to probably be playing is Arc Intel, Palkia, and Mew Genesect. Those are the main three. Everyone knows them. If you don't, then you're living under a rock. You should know, like, those are, like, the best decks that are in the format. So I've been prepping, playing against a lot of those decks. I'm building around how to beat those decks, but I expect those are my top three.
Elliot, what do you say? What would you be your top three that you're prepping for?
I'm 100% prepping for Arc Intel, Palkia, and Mew. I'm a little bit less worried about Mew just because I feel like people are going to see that it takes a slightly rougher Arceus and Palkia, and so they might try to avoid it for at least day one. But definitely those first two, Arceus, Intel, and Palkia, seem like the massive front runners for this tournament.
And Ryan, what about you? What would be your top three?
I would agree with both Averyn and Elliot. Arceus, Palkia, and Mew, just because they're all really good choices and the best. Yeah.
I think this is one of the easiest questions to start off with in this format specifically, it feels like, because it's like Arc Intel, Palk Intel, and then Mew kind of follows up there, right? So we've had this thing with Mew where it's like, all right, good players aren't going to play Mew. Then we saw the late night a couple days ago, Gabe Smart and Cal Connor, who are both very good players, met in the finals with Mew VMAX. With catchers. Yes, the flippy Mew VMAX.
Yeah, so you gotta respect Mew no matter what, I think, because it's already a tier one deck by itself. People know how to beat it. I don't think really good players, the top of the line player, will play it because they understand, like, well, everyone's playing tested against everyone knows how to beat it, so they'll just, what you need to do is Marnie path them and, like, have, like, that's pretty much how you beat the deck and hope they don't, you know, they flip tails on a cram. But seeing that doesn't surprise me, because people are probably not, like, respecting it enough. But if you grind really hard, you gotta respect Mew.
So, Orion or Elliot, other thoughts on, like, the Mew-ness? Do you expect to see, like, a large quantity in day one, or is it just kind of like the, well, Mew's fine, so it's going to be the number three? Like, are people going to pick it up, try and high roll? Are you going to see catchers in Mew, just like Gabe and Cal played? Like, what are we expecting with this thing?
You can go, Elliot.
I 100% think if we're going to see a lot of Mew, that they will be running catchers. That's a big thing that, like, in all of the games I've played against Mew, that has been one of the things that has been super scary at every point in time, because just the possibility that they can just knock out an Arceus and just completely ruin your board state on turn one going second, it's too valuable not to run the catchers.
I would agree with Elliot pretty much took everything I was gonna say.
All right,
catchers is too important.
I mean, that's a good sign, though. If everyone's kind of in agreement with the same thing, then I think the group might be onto something. So is everyone in the call kind of on the same vibe of, like, I do not want to take a bad matchup to Mew in that weekend? Or if you have a deck that bodies Palkia and Arc Intel somehow and loses to Mew, would you still take that deck? Like, are you fine taking a bad Mew matchup for other places, or are you not taking a bad Mew matchup?
Personally, I'm with Averyn. I refuse to take a bad Mew matchup.
Averyn, nod your head, yes.
No, yeah, I'm not taking a bad Mew matchup. I'm beating Mew, if anything.
Me too.
I'm having 50-50s with the other Arcanine and the Palkia matchup. And just kind of, like, less worrying about the meme decks. Like, I'm talking about, like, Miltank, Blissey, or, like, Soul Rock deck. They are good, but they can't beat RC Sintel, so why would you bring that? You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to worry about the less that are, like, tier 3, tier bottom tier decks. So, but yeah, I'm not losing you.
I guess I'm going to be the one to take the opposite stance on this one, actually. I have really been liking Palkia Ice Rider recently, and that just, it's felt like it has taken such a favorable Arceus and Palkia that I'm willing to sack having a Mew, or having a bad Mew during day one. If it's one of my losses, I doubt that I'll see more than one. And so that's, I'm just sort of fine taking the loss.
Right on. Myself, I am leaning, I was 100% like, I will lose to all the Mews in the world, I don't care. And then these past couple weeks have been happening, and I am less into the idea of losing to Mew as we move forward. With that said, if I felt like I had a good Palkia and Arceus matchup, like I were favored in those ones, heck yeah, I'm gonna lose to Mew if I can beat those things. I just don't think I have found that deck yet where I'm like, I will beat all the Arceuses and Palkias. So Mew is, it's coming up. Now, with that said, if I'm going into day two, I might be a little more fine losing to Mew. I'm not super sure. I think, Averyn, you started it off with like the upper echelon of players probably aren't going to be playing Mew to try and win Worlds. Like they're not going to be flipping Cram-O-Matic Tails and putting their entire season on the line with that. But there's a lot of Mew players out there who don't think that matters and are going to be bringing Mew. And that's the day one I'm expecting.
The trick part for this Worlds tournament to me is that we play day one, right? And everybody else who has that day two might have like a slight advantage of seeing like, okay, they, you know, people aren't playing this really, so I could, you know, actually go with this this deck. So I'm actually trying to build multiple decks and trying to have like, just in case, like, all right, I just want to get through day one. This is my day one fight. I know for sure that'll get me to day two. But I do have like some side decks just in case, you know, like just, it just is, I feel like we're in a disadvantage, right? Everyone's going to see what's going to be played. And it's like, oh man, that's the only tough part. This is hard. I love it. I love the, it's a challenge for me and I appreciate the challenge. And cause day two, we're not playing against they're all good players. They're all great players, and they're there for a reason. And it's going to be fun. I'm excited.
So let's jump into those like top two decks, the Arceus and the Palkia. Let's go ahead and start with Palkia. There's a lot of stuff that Palkia looks like. Are you all expecting the Isaiah Bradner 4 Battle VIP Pass build? Or are you expecting people are going to start to branch off in these different variants? Orion, why don't you start us off? Are you expecting people to net deck Bradner and go from there? Or are you expecting people to come up with like a lot of different variants of Palkia?
I'm more so thinking different variants of Palkia, honestly. Like Palkia can be built in so many different like ways. Like you could play it with like you could go back and play like the Turbo Palkia, or you could just play Palkia and Inteleon, but there's always those like four-ish spots where you can, like for text that you can add for Palkia. So I expect two people to copy Bradner, but I expect more people to not, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. Elliot, what do you think?
I think having played like both a Battle VIP Pass version of the deck and it just straight Shady Dealings focus, like less worried about the turn one explosiveness, I think for Palkia specifically, not any other attackers in there, I think that probably Shady Dealings is going to show up more just because you're going to want to have the more options. And it's just felt like you've got more consistency late game. And I think that's just super valuable compared to just having the perfect turn one.
Averyn, what do you think? People bringing the four VIP passes or people bringing something else?
People should start playing the four VIP pass, and then they'll realize, hey, I need a bat in here. And I think that it's going to be slightly modified, but I don't think you necessarily need four VIP pass right now currently in the list, but I can see the reason why too. But I think there needs to be like a bat for those bad hands, like for like beginning of turn. But I could see them starting off with Bradner's list and then branching off from there. I do agree, though, with what Orion said about the I think people should start looking into a little bit the turbo version, of like how the Aussies brought it. I think they'll look into that, because if you put it on pressure, it's just it's the pressure that Elke doesn't like. People will figure that out. But the VIP pass, the Radner's list for sure.
I think one of the biggest things for anyone listening that I found in the Palkia matchup is test against people who know what the V's attack does. Because that early pressure, that early aggression, if you find someone who knows that they can star portal to a V with a choice belt and cross switcher KO and Arceus no matter how few things are on the bench, that matchup gets a lot worse. And the Palkia deck gets a lot better. So that's a big one.
Bradner did that a few times in at NAIC. So yes, I've seen that. Yeah,
pretty cool. It's a terrifying thing. That said, I don't like the four battle VIP pass version, but I think I'm more afraid of it because of its explosive power. If that makes sense. What about Tex and Palkia? Are you expecting people to play? I'm going to throw a couple out there and then we're going to run through and be like, do you expect this in an average Palkia list? So something like a Tool Scrapper, a Tool Jammer, something like a Ordinary Rod or a Nessa, something like a Starmie V. So I just want you to take a second to think about those, and then we're going to quickly run through. Do you expect something like Scrapper Jammer, Ordinary Rod, Nessa, and or Starmie V in a deck, or are those fringe things that you're not going to see a lot of? Averyn, why don't you start us off? Do you expect to see those types of techs showing up?
Absolutely. All those techs that you mentioned are really good right now. The Starmie is really good against Arceus decks, so you got to play around that. And you don't. That's the funny thing. It's like one of my buddies said, Trey, he was like, when he was playing at NAC day two, and he was like, I never know if they have the Starmie, so if you want to play around that, it's a good tech, and it's a free retreat. It could take a big KO. A lot of people, well, their counter would say, well, it gets knocked out right away. Well, you know, taking that KO on the second prize is pretty good, though. So, but as far as, like, the Jammer is really good. All those techs that you said, I would expect in them, even if they don't. If I see it right away, but I know that it's in their list, all right, then just keep that in mind.
Ellie, what about you? Do you think all three of those will show up in an average list?
I would say so. I think the Starmie is just super valuable with how much Arceus we're seeing right now. Just being able to, you know, get that really easy knockout on the second or third turn, it seems very good. Nessa or Ordinary Rod, I think they're super important. If you're not running it, you can have some weird situations where someone will knock out the Mana Fee and then take a Greninja turn, and it'll be a problem. And then Jammer Scrapper, they are both just too important not to run. I feel like you could run either or, but both of them are just very good options for solving problems.
Ryan, same thoughts, different thoughts on those three techs?
So the techs, like Rod, Scrapper, Jammer, all those I think are pretty good. I do like the Starmie too. However, I have been seeing people not play it as much, but I also wouldn't expect, I would expect people to bring it back for Worlds just because of it is very like what Averyn and Elliot said, like just being able to clean up an Arceus or like just something with a bunch of energy, just one at KOing is pretty, pretty good.
Starmie's an interesting one because there was a while where people were like, the card is so great, and then suddenly the card is bad, and then Finnegan Lynch tweeted out, isn't it funny how we all thought Starmie was good, and now we know it's not? And his replies were just constantly like, this card's really good, what are you talking about?
I was going to say, yeah, which card is pretty good.
I was like, I wonder if it's going to make that comeback? You know, it's a cool, it bops Dialga, it bops every Arceus variant in the world, including Duraludon, which is one of the few Arceus variants that technically takes good Palkia matchups.
Right. And it's a free retreat, but that's good.
It's with the cross switcher build?
Free
yeah.
Retreat, yes.
Free retreat is always so good. All right, let's look at the Arceus then. Arc Intel is another one, and the reason I'm saving it for the last of the big decks is because it's my personal favorite. It is 100% my safety pick. If I panic Tuesday or Wednesday night or whatever the night before is, I'm playing Arceus Inteleon. I will unfortunately promise that. I love that stupid deck. But are you expecting Arc Intel to be the absolute most vanilla thing in the world? Straight water version, one Melanie, two Sharons, two Palpads? Or are you expecting to see people bring, you know, a little bit of spice in it? The Radiant Zard, for example, or, you know, those types of things. So if your opponent flips over Arceus, attaches Water Pass, are you going to expect there to be cool stuff in there? Or are you expecting the most vanilla thing in the world? Averyn, if they do that, what are you expecting? Vanilla or spice?
Very vanilla. I think it's because that's the best way to play it. I think it's to have those two Palpat, two Sharon's Care. I don't expect too much of spice in Arkansas because it's kind of just very straightforward. I think people should be playing Dunsparce. A lot of people don't think that, but I think that the Europeans will come with like a fighting type because Arkansas is like the best deck in the format. Everyone knows that. And as soon as you take that Dunsparce start, that's when you're going to get to all the fighting types.
Elliot, what about you? Your opponent attaches water to Arceus and passes. Are you expecting vanilla or spice?
I'm with Averyn right now. It's just vanilla is too good not to play. In the amount of like techie Zard stuff I've played in the deck, it's just, it hurts consistency too much to not be very valuable late game. Like, it feels like it should solve things, but it really is too hard to get out consistently to do that.
Orion, we saved you for last on this one because you've been doing well in online tournaments with what can only be described as the spiciest vanilla Arceus list I've ever seen. But what do you think? If your opponent flips over, Arceus attaches water, are you expecting a bare bones vanilla, or are you expecting some good stuff in there?
So I am partially agreeing with Averyn and Elliot. I think there's going to be more vanilla Arc Intel, but I expect quite a bit of people also tagging the Radiant Zard. It's just a good surprise factor where you can just go bench, attach, belt, boss, pivot, knock out a Palkia or Arceus just out of nowhere. Plus doing maybe something else to disrupt the hand on that turn. Like, that just seems way too powerful to pass up.
So, Averyn and Elliot, the Radiant Zard. Are you going to be shocked if your opponent puts down one of those? Or is that kind of like I was expecting that, or I wasn't expecting it, but I'm not surprised by it? Averyn, start us off. What do you think? The Radiant Zard, is that a big surprise factor?
No, not at all. I mean, I see why people would want to play it. That 280 out of nowhere is pretty good. But I think people could play around it, though, is the thing. It's like, you know that once you see it the first game, or if you see that they discard it in some way, you could kind of play around to expect it a little bit. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a Radiant Zard across from me.
I wouldn't be surprised either, just because, like, if as long as people are still doing well with it before Worlds, there's going to definitely be at least a few people that go in with the tech in the deck. So, yeah.
So it sounds like most of us are assuming Arc Intel's going to be vanilla, but also we're going to be prepped for them to throw down a Radiant Zard choice belt and bop us out of nowhere. Okay. That makes perfect sense. It's one of those things where, like, how's everyone else testing with Radiant Zard? Because I'm right there with Elliot, where I'm not a huge fan. I have mostly cut it from the straightforward version. Now, with that said, the one that I want to throw out there for everyone is, would you be shocked, or are you expecting to run into any of the, like, I'm going to use Ian Robb as the example because I think he was the one who popularized the original list, but like the Zapdos and the Moltres and or Raikou or Zero Aura, or, you know, this like Arceus counter box deck. Is that something you're expecting to hit in day one? Or is that like, they're going to be around, but I'm not really expecting. Orion, you're shaking your head no. So you're not expecting to hit like any of those counter boxes.
I'm not expecting it at all. This, if it does see play, it'll be at the O3 tables, if I had to take a wild guess.
Averyn, you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you've been playing, grinding everyone, I feel like who points this tournament has some kind of idea of what's going on in the format. If you play Pokemon, you know what's good in the format. You know what's good. So, like, I wouldn't expect somebody to play some random counter box or whatever, because that's when I'd much rather play a straight consistency deck with Arc Intel or a straightforward Palkia deck, or even with Ice Rider Palkia, that's pretty good. something that's more that has a really good engine that doesn't really clunk the deck. And I don't want to prize parts where, like, let's say if we are playing, let's say if I was the counter box guy and I would want to prize my one of lightning energy and I'm trying to like hit a Ryuk, a Palkia for weakness, and I can't do it because it's prized. So I'd much rather play a deck that's more consistent, either go with Mew, Arkintel, or like I said, Palkia.
Elliot, are you in the same? You're not expecting any of these bird counter box things?
I definitely don't expect it. That being said, I think if someone thinks they have broken it, they've figured out the perfect list, they figured out this price, they're not going to play it day one. They would hold it until day two.
That's always an interesting one. So I guess let's take a quick aside for that, because that's like logic I hear a lot. And I'm going to say I haven't broken the format. But if I did, I would be playing it in day one, because I don't trust myself to make day two otherwise. So I would just do a very quick, like, through everyone. If you suddenly break the format or someone comes to you with the most broken deck in the world, would you play it day one or would you save it for day two? Averyn, start us off. What do you think? Would you bring that thing out day one or would you save it and hope you make day two?
I'm playing day one. I'm playing it day one.
Elliot, what about you?
I think I'd hold it, but then if I don't make day two, I leak it to someone else who made day two.
You're too nice. Orion, what about you? You playing at day one if you got the broken deck?
I am not so nice. I will literally be playing at day one just so I can really get to straight to day two with it for sure.
Yeah, I am. Unless they announce it suddenly like 3-2 to make day two, and I'm like, I could probably do that with vanilla Arkintel. I don't think you're anywhere set in stone making day two. I am playing the spice. I'm going on stream with it. I am getting, you know, scouted by everyone in day two and getting bodied in day two, but I'm at least in day two and I got a chance. It may not be the best move. And I've heard plenty of people who are on Elliot's side with that one, where it's like, I am holding it and hoping to win, but I'm not that brave. So I want to go through a little bit of the decks that aren't in those top three. Some of the stuff that is on your radar, whether to play or to play against. So I want each of you kind of think real quick too about a couple of decks, and then we'll just go through and give off one deck that is on your radar that you might play against. And maybe kind of a quick little synopsis of like, it is good because of this, or I don't think it's good because of this. And then we'll have each person kind of run through one deck, and you can add to it later if you need. But Orion, why don't you start us off? What's one deck that isn't in those big three that is on your radar, and why you are or are not afraid of it?
So the one deck that I have been seeing played, and Alex Szymanski kind of popularized this, it was Dialga V-Star. Personally, I don't like the deck because I've seen a ton of players will just go concealed cards, Mysterious Tail, Crobat, and just dig through so many cards and then have one Metal Saucer on their first turn.
It can be a cruel mistress.
Yeah.
So you're saying you're not afraid of Dialga?
So I am not afraid of it. No, I'm not at all. I think the deck is not inconsistent, but it doesn't hit what it needs like majority of the time. So
just because I think Dialga is a pretty big one. Real quick, afraid or not, Elliot?
I'm honestly not sure what to think about Dialga. I think, I don't know. It can be such a terrible matchup for a deck and then just not do anything. So, like, that, I definitely would be, like, unhappy to hit it, but I wouldn't be too afraid that I do lose.
Averyn, what about you? Afraid of Dialga or no?
The deck sucks. No. I mean, if you know how to play it, so like there's ways of playing it, like what Ryan said, you'll see your opponent go through their entire deck and then just have this one lone Dialga with one energy, and then they'll either have the Zacian and Intrepid Sword for nothing or whatever. But and then you just boss it up. I mean, just if you play against the deck and you understand how to beat it, then it's like, all right, this deck's not that scary at all. No, definitely not afraid of that deck. No,
I will say I am afraid of the deck. If Xander sits across from me with Dialga, then I'm afraid of the deck. But I'm right there with everyone else. It is terrifying when it pops off, but it pops off less than Mew, it feels like. So unless someone's cracked the code, it's fine. If you're playing Dialga and you've cracked the code, bring it. Heck yeah. I'm not telling you not to bring it, but I haven't cracked the code. That's for sure.
Same here.
All right. How about another deck that wasn't in the big three and isn't Dialga? Elliot, what is another deck that is on your radar, and are you afraid of it or not?
Just sort of anything that's Arceus and one other chunky attacker, because anyone's going to be drawn to something that'll take a favorable Palkia, and most of those decks like Arceus Mewtwo, Arceus Duraludon will take a favorable Palkia. I'm not too worried about hitting them because they should lose to other things, but I definitely would expect to see at least one throughout my day one.
So the kind of Arceus plus big thing. So when you said chunky attacker, I was like, oh, like Flying Pikachu or something. But you're just straight up it's Arceus and there's one Duraludon on the bench, or Arceus and one Mewtwo V Union on the bench or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Averyn, what about you? What is a deck that we haven't mentioned yet? Are you afraid of it or not?
Arceus V Union has been picking it up. Attention. I played you on one of these games where I had a Mimikyu, but I had the V Union in there. It was the early stages of...
Oh, I remember the game. I remember, and I was like, there's no way he's actually testing this thing.
And then I eventually got down to the Arc V Union, and then out of nowhere, people were playing that. I'm like, what the heck? And then, so that deck is interesting. Am I afraid of it? No, because I've been playing that actually before it started. I think it has potential, but I'm not afraid of it.
I think one more that we definitely have to get to. There's a couple. I'm going to throw them out there for everyone to discuss. But the first one, the most obvious, no one has mentioned the deck that won NAIC. Normally, you'd assume it's the same format. You're like, oh, Crobat Flying Pikachu has to be absolutely broken. So I guess, why is no one here super afraid of Azul GG's winning Arceus Flying Pikachu deck? So just kind of do a quick run through. Are you expecting it to show up a lot? And if so, or if not, why not? So Orion, start us off. Azul's winning deck or something similar to it.
So I actually haven't thought about this for a bit, but I kind of want to go with, I think it will see play just because Azul did win NAIC with it, but I don't. I'm not sure. I don't think the deck is particularly well positioned for Worlds just because people know about it now, but I'm not 100%. So
that's fair. Elliot, what do you think?
I definitely agree that it'll see at least a little bit of play because it's already seen success, but I think that does, because it's done well, people respect it enough that they'll test against it. And I also think the meta's shifted enough away from Palkia being the deck that everyone is playing, that I think it's not that great at this point in time.
Averyn, are you on the same?
What's the question?
On the Arceus Flying Pikachu Crobat Azul's deck.
Yeah, I don't think he'll see that much play. Even Azul mentioned that he won't play it again. I got 20 games in with it, and I usually take my notes on all of the matchups. I went 15-5 with it. It's not that, and reason why it lost and stuff like that, but it does take an unfavorable matchup against Arc Intel. So, if people are going to be playing Arc Intel, then you don't want to play, Arceus Pika Flying Pikachu because of the healing. The deck can't really handle that. But as far as people playing it, I don't see people playing it like that because, like I said, if you play just enough, if you understand the format or understand how decks work, you wouldn't want to play that deck. It does have good matchups against Mew and Palkia, but if people are playing Arc Intel, you don't want to play that deck.
I think my favorite thing with the deck, and something that I don't expect a lot of, but I'm going to assume other people are trying out a lot of, is that deck plays B-Barrel and four Marnies and four Paths. And I said that on the call before the pod started, but if I figure out how to play a deck with four Marnies, four Paths, and B-Barrel, I am in. I love it so much. Avern, you're against that?
No, I agree. Then you're in. That's the how you beat the meta. If you can Marnie Path, you know, that's it. You know, you just hit it right in the head. And that's why I think that he found success, because if you Marnie Intel Engine, and you know they break out off of that, and he knows that, and that's why he played that engine right there.
Yeah, you'd be amazed. You never think like, oh, Path doesn't shut off Shady Dealings, and they have so many outs to Shady Dealings. But if Inteleon can't build a hand, and the hand that they've built because they scoop up netted is now on the bottom of their deck,
right?
It gets pretty rough for them sometimes.
Yep.
Keyword sometimes though. All right, one more. I'm going to say big one. I guess two more, but this one's, it's big. It's chunky. It's very European. Stonejourner. Is Stonejourner VMAX a real deck you would expect to play against? It's got good Arceus and Palkia matchups, I think. Avern, start us off. Stones, yes or no?
No.
No, it's bad, or no, you're not going to play against it?
No, I'm not going to play against it. And it's going to be 0-0 day one. that deck is not good either.
Elliot, do you agree? No stones?
I don't think it's a good thing to play, but at the same time, I really do not want to hit it. Like, that sounds like a horrible round to play through.
Orion, are you afraid of the stones?
To play against it? If I sit across from someone playing Stonejourner, yes. But at the same time, like Elliot said, if I sit across from it, it's going to be a horrible time. But like Avern said, I don't think it's going to see play. I also think the deck is not great, because you can just open one Stonejourner, go attach pass, and then have multiple turns where you just don't find a basic after a Kabu for 8, and it's just like, it just feels horrible. So.
All right, let's go with Avern.
I can't see somebody like playing their world on with that deck. So I don't think that's just right.
I think that's a good way to look at it. You just ask yourself, would someone bet their world's trip on?
Right.
Especially,
I'm far as all heck. I'm like, it's 10 hours. I'm not going to go there just to play stones. I mean, if somebody's going to do that, I mean, either be a local or somebody. I'm not sure.
Props to them if they think they can go for it with it, but like, heck no, it's not me.
It's a tough one, because like there was a 2019 world, someone played a theme deck in day one just because they wanted to meet.
I remember that, yeah.
But there was a pandemic that shut us down for 2 years. This world is a slightly different vibe. We're like, oh, I haven't done anything. So if you're going.
Yep.
I don't know if stones is the move. How about the real control deck, Mewtwo Mill Tank? Is this something that you expect to hit in day one? And if so, is it something you're actually like concerned about? Orion, start us off. Mewtwo Mill Tank, Sanders, absolutely broken control deck.
I'm going to say yes. I do see this deck seeing play, especially since I think it can get through day one pretty well, but I think if you're going to play it, I think when you get to day two, when it's like the better players, I think it's not going to be as good, because people are going to know how to play against it as well. And even then, it might not be good day one either, because it's like people will know how to play against it now, because it's not a surprise factor anymore as well. So I, on both ends, I could see it, but I also don't see it.
Elliot, you afraid of Mewtwo Mill Tank? Do you think it's going to be going to show up?
I do think it'll show up. In some of the local testing that has been happening with like local tournaments and stuff, people who bring it consistently do well, just because the deck can just shut down so many things. But at the same time, like, I think some of the decks that are getting hyped right now, like Palkia Ice Rider and stuff like that, just takes such a favorable matchup that it might see less play than I initially thought.
Avern, what do you think? Is it going to show up?
I expect that people will probably bring it. Read it, no.
Got it. I would probably agree. It's one of those things that, like, if we were to rank the best decks, I'd strongly consider putting it in the top three. But since we just ranked the best decks in popularity, it's definitely not going to be one of the three most popular. But it is good. And I would expect it to show up in some way, shape, or form, for sure. Because it's... Mewtwo V Union is a good card.
It's a good card, and I think, or a different version. Usually what 10 people, the better players do, they don't bring the same decks. It'll be a little bit different. And that's something that you got to consider too as well.
That is,
if he does bring like a control deck, it's not going to be the same. It's going to be, I think there's so much potential in the format where you could build lists to where like it's going to be controlled. Like you can, and I know it's out there, but I think it'll be like a different form.
Oh yeah, control has so many tools right now. Like people are like, oh, control's missing something. I think control's just missing someone to put it all together. Not actual cards.
Control was missing something, but not in this format.
Yeah, it seems fine right now. Now, it's not even counting, like, Pokestop could be cool. Blissey could be cool. Like, Pokemon Go gave control maybe cards? Keywords maybe.
I say Pokestop for sure. About side of that, not so sure. But yeah.
Definitely some stuff out there you could do.
Oh, yeah. So before we close out, are there any other thoughts of the meta for day one of Worlds that we have not mentioned yet? Decks that you think people are going to be showing up with, decks and or things that you're like slightly more afraid of. Like, I know, Averyn, you mentioned people should be playing Dunsparce and Arceus, you know, something like that where you're like, this should be happening. This shouldn't be happening. I'm expecting this, you know, any other major thoughts for anyone? Or do we get it mostly covered? Ryan.
I was going to say, we didn't talk about this deck, I don't think, yet. Rapid Strike Urshifu VMAX.
Yeah. Is this a real deck that's going to show up?
Personally, I could see it if there's not a lot of Mew around, which it's probably number three. So actually, it could be okay. I don't know. Yeah. 100%.
So full disclosure, I did test like 4 hours of Rapid Strike Urshifu the other day with someone else who's going to Worlds as my locals. We tested the Palkia matchup. It turned out to technically be favored for Rapid Strike Urshifu. Keywords technically there. I don't know if I could pilot it solo and make it favored. But you cannot beat Mew. And if you play the version that can beat Mew, I don't think you beat Palkia. Because you need all of these cute little techs to beat Palkia. So yeah, that's... Yes, I'm not saying people won't bring it, but yeah, you're right. It's like you either lose to Mew or you lose to Palkia. At least it feels like if people figure it out, good for them. They're winning Worlds, but that thing, it's interesting for sure. And it's one of those things too. Anyone listening to this, just remember, because people come into my Twitch chat all the time. They're like, aren't you afraid of Tord bringing Rapid Strike Urshifu? Tord is in day two. I'm not worried about that until I make it there. Until then, I'm worried about whatever is going to show up there. Other thoughts?
Like what Orion said about Urshifu, I could see somebody trying to bring that, but it'll probably be not until day two we see it. I just think that you would have to build it with the dark package in order to like beat. Like it'll be like a 1-1 Galarian Moltres, the V Max and the V. I mean, sorry, the V and the baby Moltres. Because I can't see just not like take the L strip to like Mew. I just can't see them having that in their list.
Ellie, any other thoughts that haven't been touched on?
I don't think we covered anything with Ice Rider yet.
You're the Ice Rider player.
I am the Ice Rider player. I really like the deck. I don't know how good it is if people see it coming. Like, if people think it's going to be super viable, I'm not sure how good it will be. But if it's not something people are testing a bunch and expecting to be a front runner, I think it could do things. And I just really like the deck.
Let's do a quick little round robin on this one. Averyn, are you expecting Ice Rider Palkia to show up in large enough numbers to matter?
In large enough numbers?
Yeah.
I can see playing against like once or twice. I think it's the problem with it, just can't hit the bigger number. Like, it hits 280, so you can do 250, 280, and you play the Leon. But, like, let's say I'm respecting you, dude. And so you can't. If they play the Oricorio, it's going to be tough just for that. I'm not sure. I originally started playing the, the Palkia Ice Rider. Originally with Inteleon, I had those two, and then just hitting those numbers, the 330, you would have to play the Leon, right, to get up for the bigger numbers. But I think the better number to hit for this tournament is 310. If you can hit 310, I think you'd be fine. 310 is the number for my, that's like what I'm thinking in my head. I'm hitting, trying to hit 310 and above.
If you're finding a deck that constantly hits 310 and above, please leak. I'll play it with you. Orion, are you expecting a lot of Ice Rider in day one?
Not a whole lot, but at least one to two. Probably one.
Okay, so you won't be shocked if your opponent flips over an Ice Rider V.
No.
Well, thank you all so much. Shoutouts. Orion, why don't you start us off? Where can the people find you if they want more of you?
Okay. So I have Twitter and Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Orion_Blounds1. I post some, made all my tournaments online and all my IRL tournament accomplishments there. And then you can follow me on Facebook. I'm still working on changing my name there, but you can follow me at Joshua Sutherland there. But otherwise, you can... and then shout outs to my sponsored team, Team Infinite Gaming. So yeah, that's about it.
Elliot, where can people find you if they want more of you?
Really just either Kevin's Discord or Twitter at Mew3OP. Yeah, that's really the two main places.
Averyn, what about you? Where can the people find you?
On Twitter, I'm _plays and then the number 4 days, so play 4 days. On Twitter, shout out to my girlfriend and my two kids and my friends back home, the PTTP crew back home, my testing partner here in Arizona, Trey. He's the one that's been coming by and helping me test and whatnot. Shout out to them. And shout out to everybody that's going to be watching the World Championships that's going to be in 2 weeks that we'll be playing. Thanks for watching.
And of course, myself, you can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at @Mellow_Magikarp. Leave a review with preferably all the stars on whatever podcasting platform you listen to. And this is another episode of the Lake of Rage podcast. We'll catch you all next week.